Coming up on podcast 1312, the UK cuts their EV grants whilst Germany actually raises them. Brilliant. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the podcast today, a bunch of Rivian news thanks to their Q3 earnings. We get to hear about the Amazon van as well. News about Lightyear, not the first one, but the next car they're going to make. And also Arrival take us around their first car that they're going to make. Of course, that's the kind of taxi cab they don't want to call a taxi. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. It's Friday, 17th of December, and my name is Martin Lee. I've been through every EV story today, so you don't have to. I'm here to save you time. Now, we'll start with our headline story today. The UK government has brought yet another round of cuts to what is called the plug-in car grant. It's money off purchasing a brand new EV. Buyers now only get £1,500 off a car. I remember when it was £5,000 not so long ago, but they just keep chipping away at it. This particular cut follows a cut earlier in the year. £1,000 has been taken off it, so it was £2,500. It's now £1,500. And significantly, they've actually lowered the price at which the subsidies cut off. And the cut-off point is now £32,000, not £35,000. Auto Express magazine say the plug-in van grant has also been cut to £5,000 for large vans, £2,500 for small vans, with a limit of 1,000 customers per year. Plug-in motorcycles get £500 off, mopeds only £150. Now, Mike Hawes, the chief executive of the Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders, a lobby organisation that all the car companies sign up to, his job to speak on their behalf, said that these cuts represented a blow to customers. It's the second time this year our government has cut the EV grant. More importantly, though, it's that qualifying cut-off point from £35,000 down to £32,000, which really makes actually quite a big difference. The updated government website lists all the cars eligible for the grant, and we will wait and see now which of those car manufacturers lower the price. Now, earlier this year, when the cut-off point got lowered, we did see some price adjustments. I'm talking about in our favour, the customer's favour. BMW lowered the price of the i3, Citroën, Hyundai, Kia, Peugeot, Vauxhall, all changed their prices a little bit to get some of their cars into the new bracket. The new Citroën e-Berlingo and Peugeot e-Rifter in particular have models just above 32, so maybe they'll take a bit of a hit on their profit and bring them under 32,000, you know, 31,995. Cars no longer qualifying, though. So if you were hoping to get one of these cars, no longer any grant available. BMW i3, the Citroën EC4 and the Space Tourer, the Hyundai Ioniq, Kia's Niro, I think all the specs of the Niro, the Kia Soul, the Peugeot E2008, the Skoda Enyaq, Vauxhall's Mokka E and Vivaro E-Life. I think all specs of the VW ID4, all of those above £32,000. So, if you're in the market for a car and you've bought one, what you need to do today is call your dealer or whoever you bought the car from, the new car, and check that before today, they registered it on the portal. Now, if they took your order and took your deposit money and gave you an order form and you're waiting for your car next year sometime, whatever, they should have put your registration onto the government portal. If they've done that, you're fine, you're locked in, you get the £2,500 off. If they haven't done that, you're going to have a bill of an extra £1,000 for that car. Or maybe, if it's a mistake and they told you they would do it, the dealer will foot that. Or maybe there's some negotiation to be had there. But I would recommend if you do have a car on order, any of those cars, or just generally, it's worth checking with your dealer to make sure that you were indeed registered. There is a bit of a grace period. It was cut overnight. Everyone woke up to this news. Even when the news broke, the government website hadn't been updated. So It was all very last minute. Well, it just caught everyone by surprise. But in contrast to that piece of news, Germany's new government said earlier this week it's extending their current system of incentive payments for buyers of EVs and plug-in hybrids for another year. But after that, it'll impose tougher requirements for vehicles to qualify. And that's a good thing. The Economy and Climate Ministry was set up when Germany's new government took office last week, providing payments starting in 2023 only for vehicles that demonstrably have a positive climate protection effect. And I'm reading into that and presuming that means that your plug-in hybrids support is either going to get cut or going to have to do like 50, 75 kilometres or something on electric power alone. According to ABC News, for the next year, the current system still applies. You get €9,000 off a qualifying EV. That's about $10,200. And qualifying buyers of plug-in hybrids get $6,750. But, like I say, talking about how they're going to change it from 2023, I imagine they're looking at things like taking away some of that money for plug-in hybrids. The government's goal is to see 15 million pure electric cars in circulation by the end of the decade. And Germany so far has only seen about 500,000 of them roll off dealers' forecourts, according to AFP. This financial support, which first started last summer, has played a key role in the record increase in Germany's EV sales, says Euronews.com. Earlier this year, in May, their Federal Minister for Economic Affairs, Peter Altmaier, announced his intention to make the payment process easier for charging stations. For e-mobility to really break through, he said, we must not only provide funding for EVs, but also make the charging process and payment for this more convenient. In the future, the charging stations that are open to the public will accept standard debit and credit cards, and this means that these charging stations will be open to everyone, including customers that do not own a smartphone. As credit cards work everywhere, this also opens up charging stations to cross-border travel. That's a good thing as well, because, yeah, if you're driving across Europe at the moment, you do have to have just a couple of key RFID cards or apps on your phone already, but hey, when all charging infrastructure is just tap your card or tap your Apple Pay or Google Pay and off you go, that is so much the better. We've done a similar thing over here as well. It's not set in stone in terms of law, I don't think yet, but pretty much everyone is retrofitting card readers on the front of their DC fast chargers. Now, moving on to a company that really interests me, Arrival. And they've unveiled their Arrival car, as it's known. It's literally called The Car, capital T, capital C, designed to be used by rideshare drivers. They're not using the word taxi, but that's what rideshare is, isn't it? It's a taxi car. And so this is basically a vehicle that'll be a working London black cab for cities of the future. Doesn't look like a black cab, though. It does look like a working vehicle, though. There's loads of room inside it. Very, very spacious. A purpose-built vehicle for ride hailing. Arrival announced that it had teamed up with Uber to do this, with an ambitious deadline as well. The first models rolling off the production line in Q3 2023. Now, Engadget website says, the Arrival car is deeply uncool, they write. A box on wheels with an emphasis on maximising the internal space for passengers. It has the same silhouette as a French-made minivan, and you could easily imagine a line of them parked outside a Saturday morning under-15s football match. But because it's wholly rejecting the need for aesthetics, for the sake of aesthetics, that actually makes it quite cool. They say, yeah, this car is very much substance over style. Uber and Arrival working on this vehicle, which will no doubt have cost at the very heart of the whole business model. Up front, big screen, steering wheel, one stalk. I'm guessing for the indicators, not much else. The front passenger seat will fold down and forwards as well for extra room. And lots of leg room in the back of this as well. So in a couple of years, grab yourself an Uber and you could be driving in an electric Arrival. Now, Audi is increasing investments in electromobility. I got a little press release come out of the Audi Media Centre today, say that future vehicle projects are going to be invested in with a sum total of €37 billion, with €18 billion earmarked for electrification, which is an increase on previously. And they do split it out into electrification, so that $18 billion is for EVs. Now, some car makers often use a big number and say, oh, we're going to spend that on electrification and autonomy, or digitization and electrification. And you kind of wonder, well, what of that is your self-driving stuff? What of that is, you know, your software department? But this from Audi says $18 billion on making hybrids and electric cars, with new models from Audi, the likes of the e-tron GT, the RS e-tron GT, the Audi Q4 e-tron and sportback version of that car as well. They say the portfolio has doubled this year, and by 2025, they've set a clear target of having 20 fully electric models in its lineup. That's a great interim target. Now, Audi have said Many times, 2033 is when they will make their final combustion engine. I think it'll be before then, honestly, because I think EVs will just take off so quickly. But they've got 2033 as their deadline, and that interim target of 20 full EVs by 2025, I think is a good one. Well done, Audi. All right, coming up on the podcast soon, we will talk about a lot of Rivian news, actually, thanks to their Q3 earnings. So we get, now they're a public company, we get lots of details about the Amazon van and where they're building a new factory, and a nice little bonus for Tesla owners as well to make your cars quieter. Stick around. Those stories are on the way. Now, let's talk about Mercedes-Benz teasing a new EV that will destroy everyone on range, says Car Buzz. Even the most efficient hybrids and diesels out there can't match electric cars like the Lucid Air. 520 miles on a charge. Charge that overnight, off-peak, and you are going to be doing a lot of travel for not a lot of money. But Mercedes say they can go one better than Lucid, and doing it thanks to efficiency. More than a year ago, Mercedes teased an EV with 750 miles of range. It was called the Vision EQXX. The vehicle will be revealed next month in January, at January 3rd, actually. They're going to be showing off their new car at CES, a big tech event. 750 miles of range is not a pie-in-the-sky number. They say they will do that with a massive battery pack, but also 20% better efficiency than what they have on the market at the minute in the Mercedes-Benz EQS. So Mercedes-Benz clearly got something up their sleeve to get better by a fifth and have a 750-mile luxury V on the market. That's just incredible. I can't believe we're talking about 750-mile electric cars. That is insane. Holy moly, can't wait to see the car. I'm not sure at CES in January we're going to get many tech specs on that vehicle. Maybe we will, and I'll be pleasantly surprised. And when that arrives on the market, we don't exactly know. Now, here's a car that's all about efficiency. Nice segue. Lightyear. And the Lightyear 1 is not actually on the market yet. So, you know, take this one with a little pinch of salt, because I'm starting to get a little annoyed with EV announcements recently from, whether it's companies large or small, who aren't actually making anything yet. But the Lightyear 1 will be on the market in 2022. But Lightyear are already talking about their Lightyear 2. And they've been using their Lightyear 1 all summer long around Europe. They haven't charged that vehicle, of course. This is a very concept car-looking kind of vehicle. It's covered in solar panels. The wheels are covered as well. Doesn't look very kind of typical. If you buy this car, you will definitely stand out from the crowd. But I'm guessing that's the audience they're going for. High-efficiency motors, up to three times less power per kilometre than a typical EV on the market today. Now, the Lightyear 2 will be on the market with all of the solar panels of the Lightyear 1, using five times less charging, and they're going to rely heavily on solar panels to get that efficiency level. But also, they say they can make this car for €30,000 or $34,000. Hey, we haven't seen the Lightyear 1, let alone the Lightyear 2, but that's what they said this week. That car is also coming. Now, a lot of Rivian news, actually, because of their Q3 earnings. A couple of things we'll get to in a moment. But first of all, the new Rivian owner, the R1T, the truck. An owner has been onto Reddit to say, I've got my truck. Here's a picture. What do you want to know? Now, this person says that while he'd love to work for Rivian, he is not an employee or linked in any way to the electric automaker. So I think this makes him the first non-employee Rivian R1T owner, or at least the first one to put their head above the parapet and say, I got mine. Get onto the news then of Rivian's Q3 earnings. I mean, it is such a reminder how hard it is to bring an EV company to the mainstream. They lost $1.23 billion. And they're not going to meet their targets either. Let's go through the numbers then. They said they're going to be a few hundred short of their goal of producing 1,200 units by the end of the year, according to their statement. They had a net loss of $1.23 billion in the third quarter alone. Wow. Net pre-orders, though, heading in the right direction. So the net pre-orders of the R1 model, so R1T for truck, R1S for SUV, 71,000 combined as of December 15th. That is up from 55,000 at the end of October. So what a hell of a November they've had. People have clearly seen them now making those vehicles. The reviews have hit the websites, the likes of Inside EVs, etc. They invited my buddy Tom Malogny to go drive it. He liked it so much, he put a deposit down on one. He loves that vehicle. And I think clearly people have seen something similar and had a great November. So 71,000 vehicles in the back catalogue to get through, the back order catalogue, I should say, to get through. I think if you're at the back of that queue, you're waiting at least a couple of years to get your Rivian. Somebody who won't be waiting, though, is Jeff Bezos. Because if you're Amazon, they were an early investor to the tune of billions of dollars, and Amazon want their vans. And I do think that Rivian are going to prioritise the vans over the customer deliveries. Rivian made big news yesterday with their factory announcement. I'll get onto that in a moment. But they did talk about the Rivian van. And it has a name now, the EDV. The EDV is produced alongside the customer pickups and the SUVs at their normal Illinois factory. While testing has been going on for months, Rivian says the first saleable vans, that was the phrase, the saleable van will be delivered to Amazon before Christmas. I thought those vans were out there already because we've seen loads of pictures. Must be just testing vehicles. According to CNET.com, the version of the van that we've already seen is more specifically the EDV-700, referring to 700 cubic feet of cargo space. Under the EPA's official testing, we now have a range figure. For the first time that we found this out, 201 miles. And I reckon that's mega. What do you think? I think that's huge. For an Amazon delivery van, especially if you're working in a city, okay, rural is different, but if you are just doing drop to drop to drop to drop, you know, from house to house to house, you do not need 201 miles. But that is the EPA range of the EDV-700. They're working on a shorter, narrower EDV-500 for early next year. Same platform and built on the same production line as well for Amazon. Those vans are going to be delivered to those the Amazon, the customer, before the end of the year, before Christmas, I think. Now, talking about the new plant that Rivian are going to build, Rivian are going to build a new plant in Georgia. And that was confirmed yesterday as well, spending $5 billion on an assembly plant and battery factory. Yes, they do want to make their own batteries at Rivian. Long-term goal for that. Somebody I spoke to recently, if you check out last weekend's Saturday special, I spoke to an investor called Vitaly Golom from Drake Star Partners, and he's worked with Rimats and Fisker and many over the years. He has invested for a long time in Rivian, way before they went public, etc. And I said to him, what do you see in Rivian that makes you want to invest in them? And he said, I think they're building a 100-year company. And he sees something in them that's long-term. And you'd have to say, with huge investments in building battery factories and new assembly plants, this one in Georgia, they've clearly got their eye on the long term. At a press conference with the governor, Brian Kemp, at the state capitol, Rivian outlined plans to employ 7,500 workers at the new factory, growing to 10,000, built on a sprawling swathe of farmland and pine forest about an hour east of Atlanta. Rivian plans to begin production in 2024 at the Georgia plant and will manufacture 400,000 vehicles a year. Construction is slated to begin next summer. Next, we'll talk about a bit of Tesla news, and your Teslas will be quieter. Well, they will if you drive a new S and an X. They're rolling out their active road noise reduction. Noise cancellation, in other words, in their Model S and Model X refresh versions. Now, it's a hardware thing dependent. Now, the function of this allows the cabin to be quieter when you're driving on rough surfaces. Honestly, I didn't know that Teslas didn't have active noise cancellation. Really standard thing these days on a premium car. And if you're spending 150 grand on a car, kind of expected. So, great they're doing it. I thought they have it on those cars already. Never thought about questioning it. But they didn't. But now they have. The release notes say this. Your vehicle now has the ability to actively reduce low-frequency noise while driving on rough surfaces. To accomplish this, the system uses the seat microphones to measure the noise in the cabin, then generates anti-noise through the speakers to create quiet zones around the occupants. To access, go to Audio Options, Active Road Noise Reduction. Teslarati.com says, it should be noted that active road noise reduction would only be made available for the S and the X, the flagship versions, and the refreshed ones as well, because it's hardware related with the microphones in the front seats as part of the interior refresh. Components are currently not installed in the Model 3 or the Model Y, so you don't get it just yet. And final story, we will go to Volvo And we'll go to the Arctic Circle. What happens when a battery-powered semi-truck heads into the Arctic Circle and the temperature goes down to minus 25 degrees C and the strong cold winds are blowing? Well, to find out, Volvo Trucks have been doing their winter testing with their 44-ton electric trucks in the north of Sweden. Had some good results, they say. The FH Electric is one of three new electric trucks that Volvo will start series production of very, very soon, certainly in 2022. It weighs 44 tonnes. You can, if you want, pre-order them. Maybe you and I wouldn't be ordering a semi-truck, but businesses have been pre-ordering them for a while now, and they're going to be a workhorse of regional and supra-regional transport, says electrive.com. Volvo pointed to newly introduced functions like ready-to-run. Now, the ready-to-run feature, depending on the need, will preheat the batteries and the cab as well. Get the entire vehicle ready to go in very cold weather or very warm weather, whether you're heating or cooling the batteries and the cab. Optimum temperature, by the way, Volvo saying for their battery pack is 25 degrees Celsius. The driver can also preheat, pre-cool from an app as well, which is good. Just because you're driving a commercial vehicle doesn't mean you shouldn't be comfortable like the rest of us who have those functions on the EVs that sit outside our homes. Now, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. Has COVID changed your electric car buying decisions over the last almost 2 years? Yes. Have you delayed a purchase, brought one forward? No, maybe not. Maybe you went ahead and just got the car you wanted and COVID made no difference. I'd like to know about the EVs that you've bought over the last 2 years and how COVID did or didn't affect you. Email me your answer. I'll read them out to on Sunday. It's hello at evnewsdaily.com. Thanks so much to our premium partners of the podcast. That'll be you, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.